I'm a listener.
Okay, now I have to.
Popping on.
Are we all recording locally?
Oh, motherfucker! God damn it!
Whoa. What?
My phone is at 5%. God fucking damn it.
Okay. The space is open right now, right, Doug?
Yes, yes it sure is.
Okay, all right.
Hey, what's up, y'all? We're you will absolutely not believe this, but we are trying to figure out a technical solution for an audio situation.
No, tell them what's happening.
So the briefest way to explain this is that to record this particular version of the full cast, we need our laptops and our phones, and our phones have to be charged for them to work so that we can talk to you on the Twitter. And right after our producer, Doug, hits go on the space, and we're all getting ready to log in.
Okay, Spencer walked into this room with no equipment in either hand, so I don't know where anything he left.
It so just apparated.
We all had visual again of him walking up the stairs with equipment. Because, was he robbed?
Because he kept the laptop on.
And, oh, wait, flag, maybe this is coming back. Anyway,
have we gotten to the punchline yet, which was right as Doug hit go?
Right as Doug hit go.
My phone's at 5%.
No, Spencer didn't say my phone's at 5%. He just went, oh, shit. He acted as if, like, his phone had shocked him.
As if something
when, in fact, the problem was that it didn't have the charge to do that because it was at 5.
My first guess was like, oh, Utah did something weird against USC.
I thought he dumped something in his keyboard. Yeah.
I thought maybe his, like, headphones, like, crackled and fried or something. I don't know. I think we all thought it was something beyond Spencer didn't charge his phone.
Ah, shit. My phone jumped from 95 to 5.
Oh, shit. They haven't invented a perpetual motion machine yet, and I assume they had. God damn it.
God damn it. So electricity exists.
We saw him walking up. Jason likened it to a WWE strolling through the offices montage style, and it kind of was this because he was kind of angrily strutting up the stairs to where I am with his laptop and his microphone. But then he showed up in the room where I am with neither of those things. I don't know where they are.
Let's be honest about what's happening here. Spencer's trying to take the shine off of Holly's night. That's what he's doing. It's Holly's night, and everybody knows that, and Spencer just couldn't let that be. Spencer just couldn't let Holly have a good night.
No, he can't because he's a petty bitch.
We are over 1,000, and as far as I know, we don't know where Spencer is.
I think we should start the show without him.
I mean, the rule is once we're over 1,000, we hit it.
Holly, who do you want to do the welcome since it's your night?
Oh, God, he's right. And see, now he's here in the room with
don't
me.
Care.
So,
you know,
it's going to suck.
I could just not do this.
Hey!
Yeah.
We hear you.
Don't, no. Don't you turn around and act like we're being the dickholes.
Yeah.
No.
So just to be clear, Spencer is unprepared for the show and is also unprepared to be made fun of.
Thank you, Sean, for the thumbs
absolutely
down.
Absolutely.
Thumbs down is very affirmative.
Why did you bring your phone? Why aren't you charging your phone?
Well, that's the next step.
Go plug your phone in.
That's the next step.
Charging your phone now for next week.
You can't join the space with
your
phone.
What are you going to share it on?
You can only be on one phone.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
All right.
This is why Florida's a mess and Tennessee's not.
This is why I wanted to go right after the Bama game.
We're over 1,200?
We're over 1,200.
Over 1,200.
All right. Shout it, Spencer.
Start yelling.
Fullcast After Dark for men.
Welcome!
And he's gone.
To the full cast after dark.
Or maybe more appropriately for tonight.
As in Rocky Top.
What did it sound like when Thomas Edison electrocuted that elephant? Make that noise.
Which end of the elephant did the electricity go in?
God damn it.
I think all ends. Hey, but you know what? Thomas Edison remembered to plug the elephant in, unlike Spencer and his phone.
Unlike Alabama. Oh!
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Who didn't plug the elephant in?
That doesn't make sense.
It's a reach. It's a reach, but we'll allow it.
It's a misdirection is what it is.
I'm going to be very clear about my emotional terms at all points tonight. Healthy communication. Like, no, I was not prepared for this space. Am I willing to take any flack for it? None. None whatsoever. Do I need to be the focus tonight? No, because Tennessee, for the first time since 2004, beat Alabama.
That's
okay. So we had a little bit of a technological situation that we have now addressed.
Yeah.
We can now apply the plan for the opening minute of the show.
The perfect plan.
So we're going to talk about Colorado Cal.
Do we remember what that?
Yes.
So folks, you folks at home. Hi, I'm Jason Kirk. The plan was Ryan Nanny is the one of the other voices you hear.
It's me.
The plan was for the two of us to head fake you by pretending that we were going to talk about Cal Colorado for some amount of time.
Colorado no longer winless. There are no winless teams in FBS.
Everyone has a dub. And then Holly Anderson would be introduced, and of course, Holly would talk about the thing that, hey, you are all here to hear Holly talk about. And now the plan has begun.
Cal Colorado.
Cal, how did you do this? You stupid assholes.
Spencer is visibly sulking, and I just want you guys to be able to see this.
I'm trying to follow the plan.
The plan is underway. We're doing great. Okay.
I know that if I start down this path, he's going to fuck it up for me somehow.
No. Holly, what is your best explanation of what happened in Alabama, Tennessee?
Okay. I really hesitate to pull this out this early because you know how I feel about the feels like 98 bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, why is it bad when I say feels like 09, but it's really funny when Lane says make this one? And also,
we expect more from you than Lane, I think, is the answer.
I don't think that's something that you should do. Ryan, you've known me for a very long time. I was at that game. I spent that game not only in the Bama student section, but the 09 game, but in the Bama Greek student section. For reasons I no longer recall.
Yeah.
And I was right behind the end zone where Mount Cody made his eruption. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions running high. And I've had a few hours to think about it. I've had a few hours to settle down, talk to my family. And I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I want to go there tonight. Like, tonight should be about celebration, right?
It's kind of up to you. Like, I mean, it can be, but you've also had a lot of time to stew and to build up some venom and some bitterness.
No, it's not venom. It's sincere concern, especially.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Just y'all. I don't think Nick Saban's the man for this job. He won't even laugh. Look, he won't even laugh at that. He's just still over here sulking.
No, it's good.
won't even put me over. Won't even put me over on a Saban joke because he's such a cranky bitch about losing. Sorry, if I had lost to Brian Kelly, I would maybe be trying to like bring some joy back into my life, but I didn't lose to Brian Kelly.
I am sitting here watching Utah about to beat USC, which to me is comedy.
Don't distract.
This is distracting. I'm watching Utah about to beat USC.
Why do you want to distract from what happened to Alabama today?
No, why would anyone want to distract from the most points that Alabama's ever had scored in a single game total?
Between two teams, in the last century, I believe.
Yeah, since they faced Swanee.
Swanee scored 54.
Vanderbilt once scored
78. Yeah.
In 1906, when Vandy was awesome.
Vanderbilt should have saved, like, I don't know, 15 of those points for today, but that's a separate issue. I guess it wouldn't have mattered.
This ruled. That's what I have to say. It was absolutely fucking awesome.
What I appreciated about this version of Bama Tennessee is that it very evenly distributed the number of times where each side could be like, well, that's it. That's the thing we fucked up. That's the thing that's going to fucking bite us and kill us. Or well, that's it. The refs, that's how the refs lose this game for us because they're dicks.
Yeah, there was a point where Tennessee fans, a lot of them were on the, oh, Birmingham made the call, right? And Bama was like, I think they had more flags than any Bama game in history.
Mm-hmm. Bama's like 24 penalties for 170. Those aren't real numbers, but they're not that far off.
No, but this is the third. This is what I'm talking about. This is the third time this season that they've gone over 100 in penalties.
Yes,
and
yes.
It hasn't been fixed. What are they doing? What are they doing during the week? Nick, what the fuck, man?
It's not good.
What are you doing?
It's extremely not good.
It's a real dumb team by Bama standards.
Yeah. It's a sloppy team. Like, I was prepared for a lot of things. I was not prepared for a sloppy Bama team.
I'm also.
It's weird.
Like that.
What are you doing? It's bad for you.
The point in the first half when Bama is like clawing its way back from a big deficit and they hold Tennessee for a three and out, force the punt, and then like randomly somebody who's not the punt returner on Bama's like, I don't know, see ball, take ball. If ball, why not
if
grab?
If ball, why not? Yeah.
Right. And Tennessee recovers it. That's like the least Bama thing I've seen them do in a long, long, like, that's something that
a normal team
so
would
weird.
Do.
This is the third time. This,
that's something Miami
weeks,
would do.
It is week six. It is the midpoint of the regular season for these teams. And that means in half the games so far, we have come out of it encouraging Bama players to skip practice the following week. Because although now that it's happened a third time, I'm not sure Nick's
maybe
mad
that's
at them
the problem.
At all.
Maybe the problem is they've been skipping all the practice.
Have they been, should you, you guys
do
should
it again.
Maybe go back.
They're going to have to do it
like,
again.
I promised last week that I would forge. I'm a medical professional, and not a lot of people know that about me. I'm a very private person, and I promised Bama players last week that I would forge doctor's notes for them if they wanted to get out of Nick's eyeline after some of the shit they pulled last week, and many of them took me up on that. Oh, here comes Utah.
Yeah. Utah, yes. 43, yes. USC,
Utah
42.
Utah 43 in their black unis. God dang.
With the musk coming over the wall.
Kyle Whittingham's grown his hair. It's like the St. Elsewhere point of the season for Kyle Whittingham where he's got like that Farrah flow.
Oh, we got tears? This is great. Mm.
Did you notice how Spencer kind of ruined the Bama thing by just absolutely no-selling my dick joke?
Yeah.
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 Because he was mad that we made him not listen to it because we knew he was going to ruin it.
Because he was mad that we accurately stated the charge level of his phone.
Yeah, he is.
He was mad that we didn't lie.
If he was half as concerned about being a shitty teammate as he is about being called out, he's locker room cancer, is what
I'm
saying.
Wow.
Noted locker room cancer, Spencer Hall.
Wow.
The coach killer.
Yep.
So, which coach am I killing?
So far, not Brian Harsin still.
So far, not Brian Harsin.
Hey, does Billy Napier look like Hellboy's handsome brother?
I mean,
handsome by Hellboy standards.
I think what you really mean is that he looks like Ron Perlman, but I get what you're saying.
I really do mean that because as most coaches' hairline appears to recede during the season, his is growing further down onto his forehead, which does give him kind of a Perlman vibe.
Well, sure. Is he the older brother or the younger brother?
Oh, we don't recognize David. Like, God love him. We don't recognize David Harbour, Hellboy, as canon.
I don't think I should even have to mention that here.
No.
Yeah. Don't bring it up again.
But is he younger or older? Because that would, is he Hell Tot or Hell Man?
Anyway, Cal in Colorado.
Hell Man's a mayo
tonight.
That we don't recognize on this podcast anyway. I have one more Tennessee question, if that's
Hellman,
okay, Holly.
Please.
Holly, what would, if this exact game had played out the way it played out and you had been there, but let's say it's 20-year-old Tennessee student Holly, what is she doing the second the clock hits zero? What is her arc?
My tongue is going straight down the throat of my best friend.
Okay.
We're both very attractive. And then I'm kissing the person on my other side. Mm-hmm. Wait, is this still taking place in 2022?
You can place it wherever you want. Yeah.
Okay. How far am I into college?
Let's say you're a junior.
I'm a junior. Okay. So like MMF threesome is like on the horizon somewhere, right?
If you will it, it is no dream.
2022 is the year.
Move the Alamo because I got Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone in here together, but none of us are coming out alive.
A lot of tourists here. Weird.
Yeah.
Sounds like it will be remembered.
Oh, look. Santa Ana. Well, I guess I can handle three.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Thank you.
Also, that was... we've got some seriously problematic convictions that we're not even aware we need to work through yet, but we'll get there.
No.
We'll get there. Hey, speaking of which, we got another Happy Hispanic Heritage Month from CBS during the Tennessee-Bama game. It went, Douglas clipped this for us handily. It went from Sylvester Stallone promoting the NFL playoffs directly into a very quick blurb about the FBI shows on CBS back to Brad saying CBS celebrates Hispanic Heritage Month and then immediately to the game. This is just how they're doing it.
Do you think they were like, maybe people will think Sylvester Stallone is Hispanic?
No, because they broke it up with the FBI, with the FBI promo in between. I have finally come around to Ryan's original idea about what happened here, which is that they had a graphic that was running behind this that was so incredibly racist that they had to pull it at the 11th hour, but they didn't have time to make anything else.
Yeah.
But also... it's kind of like a BYO line drive by Castellanos situation. So maybe in our own way, we're celebrating the Phillies.
Did they do anything?
That's not where I expected that to go.
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm.
Philadelphia sports are our most stable resource.
Baseball's still happening?
Yep.
Still.
Not as of like 3 minutes ago.
I wanted to point out one tiny thing about the Tennessee-Alabama game. That kicker, oh my god, Tennessee's kicker.
Which kicker? Chase McGrath.
Tennessee's kicker.
Chase McGrath,
oh my god.
Well, I relate very strongly to, because immediately after this game, he was like, nobody touch me!
First of all, Chase McGrath also had his uniform on like 2 hours after the game, and when asked about it, said, hey man, there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
I would leave my helmet on during that field storming. My god.
The second thing I wanted to...
I mean, you saw the refs, right?
Yes.
Like there's a lot of jokes about like, oh, haha, the refs are trying to get out because, you know, they did a terrible job. And they did. They did do a pretty bad job.
There were shitty calls to both. Like, everyone's going to complain about the end zone thing that jobbed Tennessee. But the blatant face mask that Tennessee got away with on the previous possession was...
It was it was not a pleasantly called game, but... But when you see the refs run away, it honestly looks like in a disaster movie when, like, a wall is breached with water. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of run. Oh, shit, there's a ton of people coming after us. Fuck, we got to get out of here.
I don't know if this is the same crew off the top of my head, but I will say this about what I said about the Florida game. I didn't think it was a particularly aptly called game on either side, but at least they weren't calling ticky-tack shit.
I think that is mostly true. Yeah.
Like, I really appreciate them just... I think especially in this games, refs can get... refs have this, I think, completely misguided notion that if they clamp down really hard on the chippiness on the field, then it's going to contribute to an overall more professional atmosphere for the game. That's absolutely not true. And so there's, you know, and there's been a couple games that had some shoving in them so far. It happened in Florida, it happened in LSU, it happened tonight. And so far, the refs have been kind of just like, okay, just, you know, go back to your corners, kids. And nobody has seen the need to insert themselves into the narrative. So I don't think this was a stellar officiating job tonight, but I think it could have been a lot worse. And if I had to pick calling ticky-tack shit over hilarious blown calls that kept swinging the game by themselves, I'll take this one. It was way more fun.
Ryan, when was your last field storming that you were around?
That I was around? Sentence.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever been around one, honestly.
Okay. That's because Ryan was not with us in Michigan.
So the three, yes. Jason, Holly, and I were in Michigan last year for their victory over Ohio State. And when it happens... And I hadn't ever really been on the field for a field storming. I'd been in the stands and gone down.
But in the stands, it's like you are the water. You are in the safer
correct.
Position.
Yeah, you're fine. Already on the sidelines when this started to happen. So it was more of a field ambling.
When you're between the field and the stands, that's the move. Go that way. I get it because I hadn't really considered it until we were in that position. And then I thought, well, shit, we either help people go or we move to the middle. There's no other chance. We can't go to the side.
Oh shit, we got Apple News. Oh, that's already a thing. sorry.
Disagree.
Sorry, Apple News, a term of my own invention. Thank you to Looking Up Apples. A description of the extinct volunteer apple variety from Lee Calhoun's Old Southern Apples. Congrats to Tennessee. Y'all finally worked through the damp place and became mellow with a musky flavor. I'm going to read this description now. Originated before 1898 in East Tennessee when the tree was found when some woods were cleared. The tree bears heavily. The apples are large to very large if properly thinned. Not fit to eat till the new year. Must be stored in a damp place to obtain perfection. Then it becomes mellow with a musky flavor.
How many?
These are all true facts about Spencer.
This is canon.
How many things are explicitly like described as must store in a damp place? They never tell you that. Like, store Poseidon. In a hot
frogs
damp place.
God, Brock Heward has gone.
No, you do not have to store
lords.
Brock Heward in a hot damp
Brock
place.
Brock Heward's hair is like.
He looks like if Link was like just one course of steroids.
Just one, bro. Just
but
one.
But he's wearing like a bridesmaid's tie. Like, is that LeMay?
Confusing.
Oh. Yeah. But I wanted to say that kicker. Shouts out to him for just thugging the kick out. Just like, hey, is it pretty? No. Is it going through? Yes. It's going through, even if it has to look like I just threw it off the deck of a ship.
Have we got an angle yet where we could tell if it was blocked? Because I couldn't see, but it weirdly looked like it just came off his foot that way.
That was the most fuck it winning kick I've ever seen. It was majestic.
It was beautiful.
It
was like a duck.
Did it clear? It cleared the bar by like 6 feet.
I'm not sure it didn't clip the barb.
I don't think it did, but it was not. We should also briefly touch upon Jalin Hyatt scored 5 touchdowns against Alabama.
Okay. This is the thing I actually wanted to talk about. This is another thing that's very concerning to me. At what point after maybe the second or third touchdown are you a defensive back lifer? Like, hey, maybe we should. You remember a couple weeks ago when I said the great thing about this defense is that it creates huge open holes in space.
Yes,
but the really
yeah.
great thing about this system is that when you do it right, it makes your opponents look really fucking stupid. This is not a team that's stupidly coached on defense, and they let the same guy score a touchdown 5 times.
Do you know how many catches he had?
Like 16?
Six! He had 6 catches!
Oh, that's less.
I was hoping. I really hope the non-touchdown catch. I really wish it hadn't happened. Like
yeah.
a perfect
yes.
5 for 5. Get him
yes.
that Arby's deal.
Yes.
And also,
all I do is score
we would then have
maybe
we would then have upgraded
beef.
The Randy Moss meme. 3 catches for 3 touchdowns. We would have a superior version.
Yes.
We came so close to that.
Thank you for hitting the new. I think the newest like phrase, the Arby's, the 5 for 5. That's mm-hmm. beautiful, Jason.
Maybe the sixth one can be like an apple turnover.
Like, I don't want to get political here, but if and when Jalin Hyatt becomes of whatever age you have to be to run for governor in Tennessee, mm-hmm. you can run just on that. You can just, like, your whole campaign can be,
oh,
I scored 5
they
touchdowns
elected,
against
they
Alabama.
Governors who are active antagonists to Tennessee football. He'll win
yeah.
a lot.
Like, you don't have to, you don't have to answer any questions. You don't have to develop a platform more than this. You can just say, yeah, my answer to your question about if we should increase spending in schools is I scored 5 touchdowns against Alabama. Yeah,
well,
you know which school I scored. Speaking of schools, you know which school I scored yeah. 5 touchdowns against.
I hear what the man's saying, and I like it.
That's just stupid. Like of the list of impossibilities, I don't think anybody thought, oh, it's impossible that this Tennessee team will beat this Alabama team. Maybe
so,
you thought it wasn't probable. But
yeah,
the idea that one receiver would score 5 touchdowns.
No, this was not on my list. Like sloppy Bama was not on my bingo card.
If you want to, by the
that's,
way,
like I'm shaken on a philosophical level.
So
that's
is the whole wait. Are we now living in the world where Ole Miss is the least sloppy team in the West?
Might be, Ryan.
Yeah.
Hang
competent,
on, let me...
dependable, reliable, Lane Kiffin.
Ryan, tell me, Ryan, quick, tell me what stats you would look at to determine sloppiness, and I will tell you where we're at.
I mean, we can go with penalties. That's an easy sort of proxy. It's maybe not the only one.
Penalties right now. We actually got into this last week. Remember, by far the least penalized team in terms of yardage is Kentucky.
But what about just the West?
Just the West. This is really funny because I'm going to read you out the least penalized team in the West is Texas A&M, but Ole Miss trails them by about a yard and a half a game. But five out of the top seven least penalized teams are in the SEC East.
I have a theory on why Texas A&M is the least penalized. They do the least. Can't do a penalty if you're only getting 35 plays a game.
They're not footballing very much.
They're actually middle of the pack on number of penalties themselves because they have 38 penalties, which is good for eighth.
That may be even worse considering the number of plays they have per game. Like if you stretch that out to a normal number of plays that a team's supposed to have in a game at a middling level, they might be like the most penalized team of all time, as far as we know. Mm.
You used to have confidence, so sure, let's just let them have this.
Seems like science, yeah.
Do we know where the goalposts ended up, by the way? I saw something that said one pair in the river. Right.
One's on the Tennessee River. One went down Cumberland, last I saw it, which is the strip that runs through campus. So God knows. I hope that for history's sake, one of them ended up at O'Charlie's.
I am a little shocked more of this, like, between the checkerboard getting, like, dug up slightly and the goalpost.
That made
like,
me sad.
I was a little surprised there wasn't more just like, yeah, man, all theft is legal tonight. Go ahead, take whatever you want.
It's outside the stadium, but they kind of have a problem right there in the immediate environs of the stadium that you have in Atlanta, which is if you want to leave the stadium and trying to get rowdy, there's not a whole lot that's happening right there. You have to go a few blocks to get to the commercial district, and those are very hilly blocks. Like,
you know what? There's a lot of tonight in Knoxville.
Yeah, boat homicide.
I was gonna say unpleasant boat sex.
Oh,
so maybe we're both right.
There's probably some really pleasant boat sex happening too. Let's be fair. It's probably some people finding happiness out there.
There's no
on the goalpost.
Okay.
Shouts out to those dudes riding the goalposts. Those were my favorite. The guys were
the first kind of chunky dude with his butt hanging out a little bit in the white Tennessee ball cap.
Hero.
Call us. The black dude in the orange polo shirt a little bit later on, who got like the Washington crossing the Delaware pose. I want an oil painting of this in like an 8-foot gilt frame to hang in my home.
God, we're gonna like. Tattoo shops are going to be fucking booked in Tennessee.
Tennessee produces more weird Renaissance painting tableaus than maybe any other program. Mm-hmm. Like I can't help thinking that I hope Rashawn Golden's having a great night wherever he is.
Well,
I agree with this. The most for better and or worse picturesque fan base, picturesque in terms of internet memeability. I have long held that Tennessee and Florida State are by far the two most memeable unhappy fan bases, but I can't remember the last time FSU produced quality happy memes.
And here's Florida, Tennessee
parading up and down the street with dudes riding the goalposts.
And Florida State usually has to gussy it up with some body paint and glitter and shit. Tennessee fans are just naturally majestic.
Uncut.
Wearing a polo. That's it.
Did you guys see Tennessee Alonzo Mourning?
No.
In the stands? We had hang on, let me see if I can find him. There was just like a quick pan across the front row, and there's this elderly white haired gentleman who did the full, like, he was kind of reverse. He was this is a visual medium, of course, so.
No, yeah.
But doing the nod and head shake
in good
contemplation.
Good.
Hang on, if I can find it, I'll put it in the chat.
It's a good day for orange teams overall because, of course, the other excellent team.
Yeah, let's talk
orange.
About Syracuse, which Syracuse. Is what we really want to be doing.
Syracuse.
Here, I found him. He's in the chat.
Not Illinois. Interesting.
Yeah, no, not Illinois. Yeah, wow.
Jason, I've
well
sent
known.
You a new Tennessee meme.
Well, remember.
Not Oklahoma State either, because they didn't have a good day.
Well, that's a different thing.
That's, yeah, I mean, Illinois, a workmanlike win. A workmanlike win over Minnesota. But Tennessee Alonzo Mourning is incredible.
That is pretty good.
That you can't really. His eyebrows are hard to see, but you really need to focus on the eyebrows because that's where all the expressiveness is happening.
No, still the best crowd shots in all of college football, undefeated. But Syracuse, yes, Syracuse, the beloved Orange, 24-9 over NC State.
You notice how much their season picked up once we threw our weight onto the existing split zone duo, Syracuse's good bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
When
didn't
did
really
we
get
do?
Moving until then.
I don't remember doing it. I didn't.
I think now that this has happened, maybe I'm joining late, but this is what it took for me to join that movement.
I think for a minute we were doing it Nebraska style. Like, Syracuse is the best 3-win team that is actually a 6-win team? Does that make any sense? Does that make emotional sense?
No, yeah. I get what you're saying. Are they? I get what you're saying, and I don't think that's what they are.
Okay.
They have 3 wins by more than like they handily beat Louisville, UConn, and now NC State.
Right. Those are the 3 wins.
They also have an FCS win, and they have 2 wins that are very.
Have you ever seen a student driver on the highway going like 90 miles an hour? Like a car passes you and it says student
God,
driver.
God, you're Florida, and... shit.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to start watching the Bama game over again.
So I have seen
have
that.
Have you ever had a substitute teacher throw a knife at you?
That's Garrett Schrader at quarterback is what I was going to say. Garrett Schrader at quarterback should have a student driver sticker on the back of his uniform because God, he's terrifying to watch and
nothing,
awesome.
Nothing about this game made sense. Like, NC State had 3 drives in this game that each took at least 7 minutes, and they all ended in field goals, and the longest of them was 56 yards. Like, NC State spent a lot of this game on offense, but not doing offense.
Not doing a damn thing. Respect.
And, like, 2 of those drives happened in the second half when it's like, guys, we gotta fuck it. We're late for church. What are you doing in the bathroom? We have to go.
Oh, I can't find my pen.
The church has a bathroom.
The funniest part of this game is that Syracuse had 2 possessions in the second half and they still won. Like, I don't understand NC State in the slightest. This was a team that not but a few weeks ago was like, I don't know, ACC looks wide open. Maybe this is where they finally... Oh, Eric, all right, there you go. 2 dumb losses and a win over Florida State that they shouldn't even have. Thank you for playing, NC State. We'll see you at 8-4, where we always see. We'll meet you at the 8-4 cafe, our favorite place to eat.
NC State 8-5 with 4 first round draft picks. This is the way.
just so stupid.
And Devin Leary out for the year. Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I would like to, since we're already bringing it down with that. Can we talk about how fucking disappointing Penn State was today?
I'm sorry, I have one more Tennessee meme to put in the chat.
Go for it.
That is not a real photo. That is not a real photo. Put it in the chat. Oh my God.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic.
Is that an Oculus headset?
It looks like...
I think it's just a visor. I think it's just
okay,
a visor.
I couldn't see the visor part.
Yeah.
It's a neck brace.
That's Jeremy Piven, right?
They're both Jeremy Piven. He's looping.
Tonight we're all Jeremy Piven.
No, I don't have nearly enough social diseases.
On a day where,
to be
like,
Jeremy Piven.
Every game that we were like...
I'm satisfied with my current amount of social diseases.
On a day where every game we were like, this will be interesting, or I hope this is interesting, almost all of them were. Like, even if it was like out of reach, the team that was behind clawed back, or in forced overtime, or it came down to like the last drive or two, like, everybody did a good job hitting their marks, like making the games that are supposed to be interesting actually be interesting, except Penn fucking State.
They were on schedule for a minute.
This is what happened. Michigan led this game 16-14 at halftime. Penn State got the ball at the start of the second half, had a 70-yard field goal drive to take the lead. Great. We're doing what we're supposed to do. After that, they never got past the Michigan 37. And Michigan just ran the ball all fucking over. Like,
you couldn't even make it a round number like the 40, dude?
No.
God damn.
No.
Penn State came in giving up 80 rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. And today they gave up 418.
And I believe everyone who's not me owes John Bacon an apology.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're right. It's time. It's time for
John Bacon the seer
to move along.
Our John Cassandra Bacon.
So for a while,
the Panthers' job is Mama's calling.
Yeah, bring it home. For a while, like, they were on schedule to do the bullshit James Franklin win, because you remember it was 13-0, and then Penn State threw a couple of extremely bullshit plays while only having two first downs on offense, got it to 14-13.
Sean Clifford wheels, baby!
That was the first play I saw of that game this afternoon when I turned it on. Had a real endangering the mission I shouldn't have come moment.
Yeah, that good. he got loose because nobody believed he had the ball.
Correct. I love it when they get loose on all white uniform days for Penn State, because it always looks like a toddler has escaped the nursery
or a hospital patient is
yeah,
loose.
It is running it. The hospital patients don't get to wear pants though, do they?
It depends on the hospital, I think.
A mummy is on.
Yes, a mummy. Yeah. Is
there we go.
Loose.
It's Halloween. We have loosed a mummy.
It was half nobody believed he had the ball, and half the defenders being like, oh, God damn it. There was a moment where they were
like,
just
there's
like,
a moment
oh,
where they're like, Sean Clifford,
fuck
you, really?
We're going to have to.
I got to be on TV. I'm going to be a meme.
Someone go get him.
We're going to have to sit in film review and have to break down how Sean Clifford galloped for 60 plus yards on us.
Noted
God damn it.
Scrambling threat, Sean Clifford.
Let's point out.
It's already ruined my week.
There are definite strides and ways of running that you could tell when a defender's like, oh man, go get him.
Yes. Yes.
Like, we can still catch him, yes. But I'm not happy about it.
Yes. It's a very much like, oh, my 4-year-old was just here. How are you almost in the Lions game? Oh, fine. Go get him.
400. They got military academied. Michigan had the ball for 42 minutes, basically. 40 to like
that's
a little.
That's a Hargraven.
I don't think they got military academy because, like, I don't think Michigan was trying to, like, be like, we'll just hold the ball and keep it from them.
No.
I think Penn State was just like, we don't want it.
We decline.
I yield my time to the Michigan offense.
Bad things happen.
Well, yeah,
and
also this wasn't like 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, four no. yards. Like, there's a 67. There's a 61.
Man. If you just like hit in the stomach with the baseball bat or try to tackle Blake Corum, I'm like, hit me with the bat. Blake Corum does not look like fun in the open field at all in any way.
He was, I think Ace Anbender tweeted this out. Before the game, he went out and was like throwing Sour Patch Kid boxes into the stands to fans. Like, what an insanely confident thing to do, to be like, hey, you're here to watch us play a top 10 Big Ten opponent. Have some candy because it's going to be a fun show. And he was right. He was totally right.
Well, like this is also Michigan
that
fans.
That cluster was an emotional roller coaster.
There's a lot going on all at once.
Once again, we've complained about this once before this week, but really, really could use some sort of scary authoritarian commissioner figure who would not have staggered all of these games.
Meyer. Let's make it Urban now.
Let's talk about Urban Meyer's pregame outfit. Did anyone see the Fox pregame show?
Chaps?
Or halftime, or the halftime show. Sorry. I guess he
at
was
least
also
he's wearing clothes.
Yeah.
He was wearing clothes, but did y'all see what he was wearing?
No.
Please describe it in
black
respectful
suit.
Detail.
Black suit, including a coat of a length I would describe as like American Godsy. Kind of a pale pink taffeta tie, but little tiny non-polarized Roger Stone sunglasses. The best comparison I could come up with in the moment was like he was on the Babadook's legal team. And no one else at the Fox, because you know they cram 5 people onto that desk and plunk them in the end zone.
And it's too small. And it's
Matt
too
Leinart
small.
Is right. They're mostly former players. Matt Leinart is visibly embarrassed.
You can tell, and you can tell they're all they're none of them are like, well, I'll sit with my legs closed. They're all like, these legs are spread. These legs are spread because I need comfort.
I actually have a new theory, and I need to go back and make sure that I've got the middle of this right. But I think that you notice they put Reggie Bush in the middle, even though he is not the senior member of this team. And Rob Stone I think, has been there the longest, and that's why he gets to sit the furthest away from Urban.
They should Voltron them. They should just be like, all right.
So Urban's wearing sunglasses, and everyone else on the desk has just this look if they come back from commercial of just this guy.
The Fox idea was to hire absolutely no one with any warmth. None. Like, you put Matt Leinart.
Brady Quinn is turning out to be quite maternal, and that's kind of a compliment.
He's trying.
There's some personality between Brady and Reggie, right?
Yeah.
But then putting Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer in there is bringing the temperature of the room down by about 50 degrees.
Right. I'm looking at Urban Meyer shades. I'm getting a Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah. It's got very Cold War defense consultant vibes to it, right? Like, this will only kill 15 million people. Yeah, it's creepy. It's bad.
I think next head coach of Alabama.
I think I may have actually gotten this right.
Oh, wait. This is why Bama lost. Because the Bill O'Brien to Georgia Tech rumor started up. Bill O'Brien's distracted by the Georgia Tech job.
Just like when Lane Kiffin had to be let go during the playoff because he was thinking about his next job. That's B.O.B.
That's right.
Thinking about,
that's right.
Okay, I think I figured this out. Matt Leinart has actually been at Fox Sports a little bit longer than Reggie Bush. I think everybody else is in order. So Matt and Reggie clearly had some kind of like USC-based bet going for the week to see who has to sit by Urban that day. And Matt lost, and that's why he's so cranky.
Can't we just put him like in like a wagon or something off to the side?
Like he's there. He's like Lee Corso's Wario.
Like... This is our brother that mom said we have to take with us.
He gets his own desk.
You could put him in like a rolling volcano, Legends of the Hidden Temple style.
Oh, put him in the big hamster ball from American Gladiators.
What if we just put him in a Zorb?
Yeah.
You think?
Just be like,
put him in a Zorb with a little rat cage bottle of gin.
But never acknowledge it. Never acknowledge it.
No. I want the Fox wardrobe people to gradually push him into being dressed exactly like Morpheus in The Matrix, right? Be like, no, that coat, you like the length, right?
I don't have any blue pills.
I love the length. Yeah, okay, can you make it leather? Okay, cool. Can you make the glasses a little smaller?
Please don't put Urban Meyer leather daddy
into
the void.
This is After Dark.
If there's anything Urban has, it's blue pills.
Wow, we just... oh, shit. You're absolutely right.
Either that or put him in the same outfit from the nightclub picture on the set. You're like, yeah, you like this shirt. I know you do.
TCU Oklahoma State was really good.
I completely missed this game. How?
How?
The hell?
It was, there's nothing going on at the time.
I think that was irresponsible of you. I get it. And I get that you're having an irresponsible day, and we've harped on that a lot. But
I'm actually going to go back and watch the TCU game in full tomorrow as a longtime Sunny enthusiast. This was extremely pleasing.
OK State got up, I think 24-7 was their biggest lead.
That is correct, yes.
And held similar versions of that lead until
they were up.
It took TCU almost the entire regulation to come back and tie it up.
They were up 30-16 with about 11 minutes to play when they punted it away to TCU.
Yeah, and TCU didn't tie it up until looks like...
Two minutes to go. Because there was still time for both teams to try to win in regulation. They just didn't.
Yeah, and then double OT, TCU gets the win, remains undefeated, 6-0. According to the every team sucks metric, JMU now sucks. JMU lost. Ohio State didn't do anything. They are back on the suck list. TCU is, as of right now, the only team that doesn't suck.
In the
season.
Ryan, you're good at this. Can you think of a rivalry pairing that has a greater delta between coach affability than Sonny Dykes versus Mike Gundy? Because now that Cutcliffe retired, we have to take that crown away from him and Mac Brown.
Yeah.
And pass it on to somebody else.
Heupel and Saban's a pretty different experience.
I don't think that doesn't mean anything good. Oh, you know what it could be right now? Mm. Stoops and Satterfield.
Ooh. Oh, that's Yikes. A strong one.
Like, especially because, like, I already talked about this on Twitter.
The famously likable Mark Stoops. We definitely saw this whole Kentucky era coming.
Like, I'm just going to stop, like, ever thinking good thoughts about Mississippi State. Because I swear to God, and I know it's not just me. This is not, we have powers. This is
Do
not one
Do not look directly at them. Oh, y'all have a new problem, by the way, because all my shit and superstitions clearly worked, and now I have to keep them going.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only other thing I wanted to say about that game. We're on to UT Martin.
There's just no point. There's really no point in ever being like, well, I am a believer in Mississippi State football, because immediately they will just like fucking crumble.
They're a Schrodinger's football team, but the box they're in is plexiglass.
I am I'm busy looking through the rivalry week schedule for the greatest difference between likable coach and unlikable coach, and okay, I'm giving up on that because I'm looking right now at Jimbo versus Brian Kelly.
Wow. Oh, okay, let's play a
Happy holidays.
We had a reader question come into Channel 6 this morning that I actually wanted to save for the full group because I thought it was really good. This is from Anthony. Who would be, speaking of the exact opposite of what we just saw from Tennessee, Alabama, TCU, and Oklahoma State, who would be the funniest coach to see dragged into a Virginia Tech Wake 0-0 end of regulation game? And I'm going to open that up. Who is the funniest pair of coaches we would like to see dragged into that game?
I don't know what Chip Kelly would do in that circumstance. I really don't.
I'm not sure Chip would know what to
He's
do
been
with
to
himself.
The NFL.
He didn't like it, and they didn't like him.
But he's experienced it.
It wouldn't hurt as much.
I gotta go Mike Leach.
Ooh.
Like granted, he can sort of space out at times and just sort of pretend he's elsewhere, like at the Capitol or whatever. But like, if it's 0-0, I don't know if he knows how to.
What,
if he's paying attention,
I know
engaged.
What you meant, what if, but what if I thought, but it also goal. Sounded like you were saying he was there on January 6th.
Well, of course he was. Yeah. I thought we all just kind of assumed.
Where else would he have been? It's not like his team was in the playoff or anything.
What if that's this year's Egg Bowl?
Oh no! Oh no! 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 No!
He said, "What's the funniest possible outcome?"
I think Kevin can at least
zeros are eggs.
Actually, I think both of those guys can make jokes about it, and like they're both like, "Haha, I'm Mr. Funny Fun Guy." The internet thinks I'm funny, so like they both would, I think, find ways to.
The real problem is if the Egg Bowl, lots of other games, if they go 0-0, you can say like defenses really showed up, or weather was shitty, or injuries. Like you can come up with plausible scenarios. If the Egg Bowl goes to overtime 0-0, you have seen 5 missed field goals. Like an interception that was immediately fumbled, that was somehow fumbled again. Like you have seen.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
You have done a tour of the horror.
There was a running clock due to fights.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
like,
I think.
Halftime got skipped because who knows why.
We have to play through halftime.
We have to play through
halftime. Locker rooms. The locker rooms are infested with Thanksgiving.
I forgot that happened in a game where they couldn't go in the locker room for halftime, so they just had to stay out.
Yeah,
there
was
that happened
like that.
To who was it? Was that us? They had to like give the team that there was like one team just sitting in the end zone.
Yeah,
PB&Js. Just, I remember this happening. I don't remember who it happened to.
Orange slices, and high C. Everybody,
you don't pair orange slices and high C.
God,
what? Oh, we got pairings.
Yeah, obviously you have pairings.
Orange slices and Capri Sun. You haven't. That's a
that
staple.
Would be fine. That would be fine.
So it's specifically the high C that's the problem.
High C with the orange slices. Why are we doubling up on on the orange flavor?
But the Capri Sun could be citrus.
In a fancy restaurant, you would call this orange, comma yeah. two ways.
Ooh, y'all live in a more highfalutin lifestyle than me.
Tangy we were sitting next
orange
to a
slices
millionaire.
Quarter water, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting.
It's high C and Nutty Buddy, okay? I don't know how to explain this shit.
The Lincoln Riley.
I'm not an athlete.
Fucking summer camp Chip Sommelier Kelly. Here.
The Lincoln Riley Chip Kelly 0-0 game would be grim.
That's the one.
Oh,
that's
the one.
That would be a that would destabilize personalities, maybe even families.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley going from I love winning 55-54 to being 0-0 in a conference that's not very good.
Yeah, he would lose another chin in that game. Like just
yeah. Both of them. Not a lot of chins going on there.
I got one more. Who is A&M playing on Thanksgiving this year? Oh God! I just realized what I spoke into existence.
What? What'd you do?
Take backs.
Okay, that's fine.
I rebuke myself.
Rebuke accepted.
I really did not mean to suggest a Brian Kelly, Jimbo Fisher scoreless game on Thanksgiving.
I
feel like they would be fine with that because that would mean they both want to do like 17 plays of offense.
Yeah, but imagine how long we would have to watch them.
I think that 0-0 game is actually going very quick. Mm. I think that game is very much
flying.
Like,
yeah, flying.
There's
yeah.
lots of standing around between plays by design.
Yeah. Yeah. Jimbo's like, I'm used to this. This is how we played all year. I'm good.
I'm making more efficient money this way.
Yeah. 32 plays.
Did coaches call delay of game? Is that what he told us to run? Why? I don't get it.
Meanwhile, Brian Kelly's out there passing out slices of like deli turkey for Thanksgiving, right? I brought meat, feeding everybody. It's a Brian Kelly Thanksgiving. You don't deserve shit.
Like Brian Kelly.
What does Brian Kelly sound like now? That's a valid question.
I think Brian Kelly is confiscating turkey. No, I meant the behavior, not the accent behavior. Could be anything. Make up any accent, and that's a Brian Kelly accent.
I think he's going through finding. I think he's finding children in the stands who have gotten caramel apples from a nearby vendor and taking them.
I bought this for you.
Taking them not to eat, but to stick to himself, stick out to create a kind of hedgehog-like armor.
Kid, no one approached me.
Oh God, Brian Kelly brought oxtail, and he's doing a Chet Hayes impression. This is terrible.
Brian Kelly is dating Megan Fox? What the fuck?
That's like when LSU goes to the Bahamas Bowl and Brian Kelly decides to
embrace his
idea of local culture.
Sir,
we're not going to do that.
Your hair is too short to bead. Beat it. Bead the hair. I don't care if it's three beads. Bead the hair.
Enough for one bead.
No, but he could get you don't have to have a lot of hair to do a hair wrap. He could have one of those like threaded ones that goes all the way down to his shoulder.
Make me look like a mangled troll doll if you have to. Bead the hair.
He'd be so red.
And he's got a jewel in his tummy.
That part is true.
All right.
One more truth to return briefly.
FBS football coaches who definitely have belly button rings.
Brian, how many search results?
Brian, go ahead, and I am going to pull this. I'm going to make this list up.
Dana Holgerson.
Come on, that's the free space.
Five
additional FBS football coaches who have belly button rings.
Mario Cristobal.
Hang on. Okay, finish your thing, and then I'm going to.
That's a big jewel.
Cliff is definitely one. Okay. Dana is
But Cliff is like, it's for spiritual reasons and never says anything else.
I like that. Cliff, I like that we would know if Harbaugh had one.
Yes.
yeah, I got one.
Dana is the free score. Let's get three more. Okay. Mario, yes, it's Miami. I kind of give Mario and Jamie Chadwell passes because as somebody said one of our listeners said at the first Coastal Carolina game they saw last year, we're pretty sure the provost at Coastal hands out belly button piercings with diplomas.
That's how you get it. They clip it to you.
Cliff
got
navel. His in Sedona, and it's got like a quartz pendant hanging
jade,
from it.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see.
This may surprise you. Gus Malzahn.
Timmy Chang feels too obvious. Actually, my deep cut for this was going to be Luke Fickell.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's more of the tattoo around the belly button.
Tattoo around the belly button, but it's an elven script.
I think tribal sun is the likeliest guess.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Right.
Luke Fickell, I could see maybe because, I don't know, he's a wrestler. They're you know, like maybe sort of like hanging out at certain shows or concerts. A nipple ring. I can see a Luke Fickell nipple ring.
You know what? I bet I can come up with I'm actually coming up with too many super likely candidates to have belly button rings. This is why we should never have let millennials into the coaching ranks.
Tom Allen does not have a belly button ring.
Tom Allen does not have a belly button.
But listen to all these. But listen to all these coaches who, just off the top of my head, after scrolling real quickly, definitely do.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop me when I get to somebody implausible. Rhett Lashley.
Sure.
Yeah. Willie Fritz.
Yep.
Jeff Scott.
Okay.
Mm.
The one that I'm really ashamed we didn't think of already, especially since we already brought up hair braiding, Mike Norvell.
Oh, Mike Norvell's got the dumbbells.
That's the single likeliest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad that we took Dana off the board before Mike Norvell. Matt Campbell.
No.
No.
Really?
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Sark had one, but he took but he took it out, but not before the hole became permanent, so you could see the visible hole.
Yeah. I was going to say Sark's got infected, so he had to take it out. Mom made
No, it. Lane's got infected, so he had to take it out.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anybody less equipped? There's a great Venn diagram here. Coaches who are in charge of keeping hundreds of young people at once from getting staph infections, who you wouldn't trust to take care of a piercing on their own body.
Lane Kiffin, work at Claire's for 1 week challenge.
Can you imagine PJ Fleck running the ear piercing gun?
Yes, it'd actually,
be so clean.
Yes.
It'd be so clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is he's yelling at an 8-year-old.
I think Sark and Lane, when they were on USC's staff, gave each other theirs, right? Mm. It was like a buddy.
That's surprisingly
thing.
Tender.
Yeah. I mean, they were tight.
Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark.
Okay.
Fine.
Well,
one Monken brother, but not the other.
Mm. And they trade.
Ooh.
Is this allowed at Army?
That's what I'm thinking, that Jeff took his half of the BFF charm out, mm-hmm. and that Todd is wearing it until Jeff leaves service.
Oh, another person we know doesn't have it is Brett Bielema. Mm-hmm.
I actually feel like more coaches might have belly button rings than not have belly button rings. Because look at this run down here through the middle of the indies. Like Kalani Sitake, definitely. Hugh Freeze, yes, and both nipples. Marcus Freeman, almost positive. Jim L. Mora, 1,000%. So, Don Brown, yes, and it's not where you think.
His belly button?
It's wandering.
So the only
got
thing
wandering I... navel.
The only thing I have to argue against the likelihood of this prevalence of belly button rings in the coaching world, at least one coach by now would have gotten like a carabiner and clipped his play card to his belly button ring.
Oh, yeah, Joe Moorhead.
All right. Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind. I stayed.
That's why he had to leave Mississippi State. It wasn't that they didn't like him. They're just like, listen,
too sexy. You're too sexy.
We can't have that in Starkville. You set the town on fire.
This is actually why Dan Lanning fled to Oregon.
Also too sexy. Yep.
For a culture that would understand it.
Secretly, the actual reasoning behind every coach firing.
Too sexy?
Just gut. Yep.
Too erotic. Yeah.
By the way, if it is against the rules, I think it's unfair that at the Naval Academy you'd get in trouble for having your dick pierced. If there was any branch of the military where you should be allowed to have a dick piercing, it would be the Navy.
See, I thought you were going to say a navel piercing. But then you said a dick piercing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was making a navel joke.
No. I just was like, it seems like outside the spirit of the Navy and of the oceanic life to be against that in any form.
Yeah, pirates did it, probably.
Yeah, right?
But isn't it also called a Prince Albert, and isn't that therefore treason?
Hmm.
Wasn't Prince Albert in the Navy?
Not ours.
Hey, Navy.
Mm.
Hey, Navy. You know, Navy's
that would be fucking great if Prince Albert was like, fuck this, I'm going to be in the American Navy now.
Here's the sentence.
The food is better.
Here's the sentence. Here's the
oh,
sentence.
Sorry. Hey, we forgot to mention Ricky, Ronnie, and Jake Spavadal in that list.
Yes.
And yeah, unfortunately, definitely. Terry Bowden.
This Ricky is Ronnie. An incredible percentage of
there. I was gonna say there might be more that have one than don't.
Ricky Ronnie doesn't have one, but his alter ego Ricky Rain, who comes out at night, does have one.
Ricky Rain.
Ricky Ronnie's responsible and doesn't have a belly button ring, but Ricky Ronnie does. Yeah.
Can we talk briefly about how Cal lost? I know it was a joke, but Cal did lose to Colorado today in overtime.
Yeah, that's not
I'm glad
joke.
We're back to this.
In a game where the Cal... Look, I get that this is just a thing that happens now, but I think sadder than the tweeting just the word final with the graphic of the score your team lost by was the Cal social account having to be like halftime against Colorado and the score being Colorado 3-0. Like, you don't have to tweet that one. Final, fine. I get that you have to sort of close the book on this. You could have just ignored the halftime one, man. Fucking just terrible.
You don't even have to do a final. There's no law. Like, there's not a law that says, like, public universities must provide records via their Twitter account of all sporting events.
That's true.
Turn your phone off.
Didn't we have, like, the Florida State team or something just turn their phones off at one point?
It stayed off for, like, 6 months, too.
That's great. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Cal, you
Colorado.
Lost to
go on
you,
walkabout.
Cal, you lost to a Colorado team that turned the ball over more than you did, had more penalties than you did. Like, what the fuck, man? Jesus.
Look on the bright side. Every FBS team has a win.
Every FBS team
Last
has a win.
Last week's trend of interim coaches being unstoppable continues. Even
Colorado yes,
gets
you're right.
on it.
You're
on
right.
It.
Colorado stepped the fuck up. And they claimed it late, but they claimed it.
I'm just glad James Madison's been brought back to earth. I feel safe.
Colorado is no longer one of the five worst teams in FBS. How about that?
I'm going to second that, Holly. I found it disturbing that they were that good that quickly. Honestly, it seemed outside the natural order. Thank you, Georgia Southern.
Wow.
Also, the emergence of Dark Clay Helton. Dark Clay Helton, the executioner. Do you need to be fired? Clay Helton will make that happen. Clay Helton took Scott Frost's head, and then the undefeated Dukes came in, and Clay Helton's like, mine. Souls will
Georgia
be mine.
And don't forget, they won the Southern Not State game. Ooh, the rest of... I don't know. The rest of Southern's schedule is spicy.
Do they play Auburn? I know they don't, but
I just about scrolled
Auburn.
Up because I was like, they probably already did.
Do you want that to happen, Ryan? Should we make some calls? Come on, need to play.
Is that a coach audition?
Don't speak evil like that into existence.
No, I don't. Is that the worst idea at this point? In all honesty.
No, there's way worse ideas.
No, there's way worse ideas.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You know who Auburn ought to look into is this character who's got UCF in the New Year's Six race once again.
He kind of has a familiar, there's something familiar about him, but he's just too tanned and serene to, I don't know if he's cut out for the big levels.
I don't know. They scored 70 points. Auburn would like 70 points.
They didn't just score 70 points.
Oh, no, yeah.
They had 737 yards of offense.
Sounds pretty fun, Auburn.
Averaged over 10 yards of play against Temple. Temple, you are a real FBS team. I know that sometimes that waxes and wanes, but like, goddamn.
We should probably send Matt Rule back there until we figure out what's going on.
I also realized, looking over the standings today, that the only reason UCF is not undefeated is because they lost to a Louisville team that doesn't even like its coach. Like, there are a lot of teams like this right now. I'm going to go through them very quickly here. If not for a loss to 3-4 Indiana, Illinois would be undefeated and possibly looking at maybe a top 10 ranking now.
This is my favorite Goodnight Moon book. Please keep going.
If not for a loss to a 500 Southern Miss team that needed to come back from down 19-7 in the fourth today to beat Arkansas State, Tulane would be undefeated. If not for a super gross home loss to that Tulane team, Kansas State would be undefeated. If not for an 8-point road loss to Auburn, San Jose State would be undefeated. They led that game at halftime. And this is the worst one, because it was bad at the time, but it's only gotten worse with age. If not for the worst fucking special teams fake that you've ever seen against UCLA, South Alabama would be undefeated. But
that's
not.
Weird. That's weird as fuck.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, yeah.
Like, how many games does South Alabama have to win for AP voters to even be like, where? What fucking button do I push?
It's gonna take a bit. You know who else is not gonna be ranked for a bit? Notre Dame.
Penn State. Oh.
Notre Dame is not gonna.
Notre Dame. Let's talk about it.
Fuck.
Let's talk. A week or two or whatever.
Happen?
After we said, you know, Stanford should probably just fire David Shaw because things will never be good again. My God, in South Bend, no less.
I would argue we were right because this wasn't good.
No.
16-14 isn't good.
Stanford still look like shit.
The fact that the AP headline is Stanford beats Notre Dame 16-14 for first FBS win in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame has now lost to Ohio State. Okay, no shame there. They lost to Marshall. Marshall has beaten zero other FBS teams. They lost to Stanford. Stanford has beaten zero other FBS teams. Notre Dame has yet to beat anyone by more than a touchdown. And they still got to go to Syracuse, to USC, and play Clemson.
They beat UNC. They beat UNC, like, handily, and are the only reason why UNC is not undefeated.
What math did I fuck up here?
They won that game by 13.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, thank you.
But other than
regardless,
that's the only
all they have accomplished all year long is beat the shit out of UNC.
Keep UNC from being ranked, basically, which is a service, which is a mitzvah of its own.
That's fine.
Don't rank us. I think that's stupid.
Yeah, you said you didn't want to rank, Coach. You said you didn't want it.
Thank you.
Can I, a thing I used to do every week I haven't done in a while, can I run through some bowl projections?
Yes. Wait, before you do this, can you please, how did you stumble upon this fucking bowl eligible shirt business thing? Yeah.
Where is that from? How is it verified?
What the fuck is that?
Why do multiple institutions follow this account?
This account has been around forever, and it is recently rebranded as Bowl Season.
Bowl
because
season.
Here in college football, we name things the bluntest, most boring thing possible. It's been like the Bowl Association and whatnot. So they're like leaning into the branding that like college football fans already use, which I guess is smart, but they're leaning way too far. And they're tweeting out graphics each time a team becomes bowl eligible, which, okay, that's pretty cute.
Sure.
But they're also tweeting out links to buy a shirt that says bowl eligible, basically. And I noticed
today, like PowerPoint graphic shirts.
Yeah. Just automated, slap it on. This team has six wins. Boom. Today, after Tennessee beat Alabama, which will surely generate 100 different commemorative T-shirt designs, gonna blow up Pinterest and Etsy and so on and so forth.
Home field got a new hoodie for y'all. Even
every Tennessee fan is gonna buy their own shirt about beating Bama in 2022. What does the official Twitter account of bowl season drop? Get your bowl eligible 2022 Vols T-shirt now. The Vols are gunning for the fucking SEC title. They don't need your goddamn
Managing
week 1-6
expectations
games.
Is vital.
Jason,
meanwhile,
well,
last
take,
week,
take
last week
where you can get them.
Last week they shared graphics for like Ohio State, Bama, and Georgia becoming bowl eligible. They don't give a fuck about that.
Jason, they retweeted your tweet about this.
Yeah, they also
all right, like, all right, I take it back.
About them is the first tweet in their feed.
Yeah, I take it back. This account rules. They are in on the bit.
but Jason, think about how many looks you would get if you started like rolling around Atlanta in a fucking Ohio State bowl eligible shirt.
I might.
We're getting all these, and we're wearing them to the next game.
They gave me the retreat. I might pick up this Vols shirt.
Listen, if we get there, I'm getting the Florida one. Like the
we're
minute
not.
It goes
if
up.
You might, get there, get you're gonna there. Have to if wait a minute.
That's what I'm saying. For some teams, it is a legit achievement to earn the graphic.
If and when we get there, I'm buying that thing. I'm wearing it proudly. That'd be great.
So, as for teams aiming a bit higher than six wins, let's talk about the postseason. First, speaking of postseason, here is a real quick FCS update.
Wait, I just want to point out that Spencer is still not charging his phone.
No, good. I mean,
what's the point?
So, today in FCS news, oh, South fuck. Dakota State, a
the
team
ship
in
is
a,
on the bottom of the ocean.
A team in a terrible conference. They beat North Dakota State, who's in a terrible conference. The good conference is, of course, the Big Sky Conference.
That's right.
The other good conference is the Southland Conference. In the Big Sky, the best conference in the world, which boasts four different title contenders, even after Montana slipped up to get today against Idaho, which is basically an FBS team, because that is the grueling.
Because they still have the gear.
Yeah. They're still just as hard as an FBS team. That's how good the Big Sky Conference is. And if Kirby Smart can bullshit you about almost losing to Mizzou by saying our conference is hard, I can do the same about my beloved Big Sky. So as far as the competition to win the national title trophy that is not called the Division I football trophy, let's see here. Here's your New Year's Six. All right. All of this is totally realistic at this point. Your Orange Bowl, Ohio State. Tumble into the Orange Bowl. Uh-oh, but at least they made a big game. Their opponent, we're going to match them up with a big marquee opponent because that's usually what they try to do with the two games that are not automatic qualifier. We're going to give them UNC, Ohio State UNC in the Orange Bowl. Next, in the Cotton Bowl, Georgia falls all the way down here. That's not good. That's not good. And they're stuck with the non-power representative, because you got to have one of those. Tulane, of course, Georgia's Tulane. They probably haven't played since like 1931 or something like that.
I'm gonna look that up. Keep going.
I'm gonna
guess their coaches' names. One was Smitty Footlocker Williams, and the other one was
1985 was the last time.
Yeah.
The last time these two teams played.
Far too recent.
Tulane's coach at the time, Mac Brown.
Did they win,
Ryan? Did they coat themselves in glory that day?
Georgia won 58-3.
Oh no!
Yikes! We'll probably see a repeat of that.
But the series is 14-10-1.
Yeah, that's it. And the Green Wave are coming back.
That's right.
Vengeance is on the way. Sugar Bowl. This one, it's just, you know, it's the top rated non playoff teams from these two conferences. We're going with Tennessee versus Oklahoma State. It's a pretty good game, huh? Huh?
Spencer's
yawning. That's how good this game is.
Loser has to abandon orange.
Damn, the loser has to go purple.
Yeah.
Your Rose Bowl, Utah just knocked off USC, thanks in part to the Pac-12 hating its only highest rated team. There's some frustrating officiating in that game. I don't have a rooting interest, but still. Utah winning the Pac-12, and they will draw down against Illinois. Illinois is back in the Rose Bowl. I love that the Big
without
Ten's,
Ron Zook. They said it couldn't be done.
Finally won without Ron Zook's players.
No one has ever said that.
And then Ron Zook takes off his Brett Bielema suit. Ha ha!
This will take a while. That's a lot of suit. I love that right now the Big Ten semifinal games are fucking Michigan and Ohio State and Purdue and Illinois.
That's right.
Very serious division.
As it should be. Should be.
Purdue had like 40 first downs today.
Yeah. And they needed pretty much all of them.
Good God.
And your playoff semifinals, one will be Ole Miss versus Kansas State.
Wow.
And the other will be UCLA versus Syracuse.
Where did TCU end up in all this?
Unfortunately, they're going to drop a few games.
Okay.
They're too good to participate in my particular
game.
I see. I've already declared them national champ, so.
Right.
Wait a second. Who did TCU beat again?
They beat Oklahoma
today?
State today.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that the last remaining playoff pick of our entire pool that's still undefeated is mine?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is so upsetting.
Yep.
Okay, Jason, please continue. I'm going to go crawl into the sea.
That was it. That's your playoff.
Right. I would like to congratulate Auburn briefly today on the amazing feat of rushing for 300 yards, which is great. Like, that feels like very much like, hey, that's the shit Auburn wants to do. And allowing 448 rushing yards to Ole Miss.
Win some, lose some, baby.
Yeah, which part of the straight Boise approach is that?
Oh, my God.
You know what that is? That is a commitment to conditioning. I'm going to get you fit, and we're going to make ourselves fit together.
Auburn's remaining schedule, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Western Kentucky, Alabama.
You know, UCF only gave up 59 rushing yards.
Like, how much longer must we endure this? How much longer?
Probably not much. When's the buyout go down again?
You would think so, but
I'm gonna say not much longer.
There should we need to, like, if we have to do the big buyout shit, we should there should be a rule. Commissioner Urban Meyer should instill this rule that all the buyouts have to kick in on the same day, so we get just like this big firing spree all at once. And
and then we could get TikToks of all these coaches out at Dave and Buster's together.
I'm going to do like.
Wait! I think Ed Orgeron was at the Notre Dame game today.
Really?
Yeah.
You just sensed this?
No, I feel like earlier in the week somebody was like, here's a picture of Ed Orgeron at the Notre Dame bookstore.
Yeah, he was.
He is spending a lot of time, considering like he has not secured a college football job, and B, talked about like openly how when LSU was like, well, we're gonna end this relationship and here's your money, he was like, oh, can I get it in quarter? Like like, he's still spending a lot of time around college football in a way that I find confusing. He was at the Texas game 1 week, and
is he in? This is a thing that's pretty common in my understanding with fire coaches. They go visit guys who you might have a friend on staff or former colleague on staff, or guys just whose scheme you like and you want to like pick up a few tricks. But is he in one of those situations where, if he does get another job, he has an offsetting buyout from LSU?
I don't know. It could be
the situation. I think he's living absolutely correctly at this time.
Is he just like trying to hang out with his friends? And he's like, well, my friends are playing football on Saturday, so I gotta go see him.
I mean, I would do this.
Sure.
This is one of the most human things I've ever seen him do.
Like, O doesn't strike me as a learning scheme kind of guy. I think it's more just like he likes being seen, and I'm the guy LSU fired. Aren't they dumb? Look at all the attention I'm getting.
Right.
I could, that conversation is, it would be special to me. Hey, Ed, you want to come in and take a look? We got this cool stunt scheme. No. Don't want to learn a thing.
Fuck
don't
that shit.
Don't learn it for this fella. You know what I learned? They'll give you money if you leave.
I apologize for associating both Ed Ogeron and tangentially LSU with the concept of education.
I have an update from Air Force UNLV breaking news. You. The ref just went into the crowd and told the UNLV band to stop playing while Air Force has the ball.
What?
By into the crowd, I mean he literally walked up to the band director
and was
like, you need to stop playing.
What is this? Please point out the score at this point.
I do not have the score up.
The score is Air Force 42, UNLV 7.
I think they're fine with the noise. What is with West Coast refs? They're all on drugs. But they're all such sticklers. Are they trying to draw heat away from themselves if they're on drugs?
You know how when you're really fucked up, you sometimes remember only the most specific rules, right? You're like, yeah, I'm not wearing pants, but I remember that on Tuesday the garbage goes out, right? I got to move my car from the right to the left.
I love that that's your example.
Definitely not projecting. Super not projecting.
Who could possibly remember such a thing?
Anyway, so
the other thing about if it's Spencer in this example, he's not wearing pants. He remembers that the garbage has to go out, but then he doesn't take it.
Yes.
My pants are in the garbage, which goes out on Tuesday.
Then I put my pants in the garbage. Yeah. This is all part of the system.
Now I don't have to wear pants.
That's Pac-12 refs. They're barely clinging to their last thread of sobriety in a storm of chemical abuse.
They're having fun out there.
At the time, it was 35-7. This man is walking up like slow motion Malice in the Palace to go. He's like walking across sections, upstairs, across again, up more stairs, just to say one thing to the band director. This is incredible shit.
Hey, quit it.
Yeah, no,
he walked all the way up there.
Does he not have a microphone?
He's cutting through a section.
Like, we have the technology for you to not take the whole crowd on this journey in this bullshit game that's already
done. Do you
think
he told, like, the other officials, like, hey, I'm going to go do this? Or they were just like, why the fuck is Dave in the stand? what is he doing?
When I was in band, if you tried to cut through the band, you could get your ass beat. That happened.
Yeah, but he's a ref. He's identifiably a ref.
Well, he's a pretty fit ref, too.
He is a pretty fit ref, but I'm just
probably
saying,
from all the hiking.
If they caught the tuba section on the wrong day, maybe the ref gets it. That's like not outside the realm of possibility here.
I would also like to briefly congratulate Arkansas for, I assume y'all saw that after the nose biting incident, Arkansas had not won a single game. They'd gone 0-3. But that ended today and they beat BYU. So that shows you that you shouldn't bite noses, but eventually it'll get better. I think
we got a good tweet from our boy Jerkwheat.
Oh yeah, we did get a good tweet,
which was interrupted by BYU fans stopping and thanking him for coming to the game,
being polite. And Indiana lost to a quarterback whose name is Billy Edwards Jr., which is just the most like little rascal shit you could ever possibly lose to.
Billy Edwards Jr.
Billy Edwards Jr. came into this game because of an injury to the younger Tagovailoa, and
he got carted off, didn't he?
Yes.
Did we get an update on that?
I have not seen one now. But Billy Edwards Jr., 0 for 3 passing, 5 of 53 rushing for a touchdown.
Joining the pantheon of Maryland greats.
God. Indiana now 3-4, which seems too high, except they've just lost 4 in a row.
Hey, speaking of the ACC, do we have a location on North Carolina?
They beat Duke. Or are you asking, or do you have a broader question about the state of Carolina as a football
where it
entity?
Is?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
I think in relation to South Carolina, it's very
it's
nearby.
Up. It's up.
Okay.
UNC did hold on to beat Duke and has but one loss on the season. How does that make you feel? Okay. All right.
I think you broke me.
Okay.
I see clouds. I see clouds and a pale blue sky.
Uh-huh.
I just hear whistling wind between my ears. No, seriously, I'm not building to anything.
That's fine.
I think I just contemplated an abyss that was full of light instead of darkness, but it didn't make me feel at home.
Oh, that's the place where Michigan State wins a game in overtime. Another thing that happened today.
It's weird in here.
NF Tuck on the comeback. Get it on the ground floor.
To the moon, baby.
Get on the latest ground floor.
Also, Spencer, great job with your team today. North Texas, 475 rushing yards on 47 attempts.
You know, we're just doing what works, trying to get better one measure, one bar at a time. That's really all I'm trying to do here. Just trying to keep the smooth jazz attack going, is what we were doing. We were
just keep tooting.
Yeah, no, that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to keep those Weather Channel vibes smooth and easy. And I thought we played with great rhythm today. And that's what North Texas football is, right? We get out the metronome. We play with one heartbeat, one band. And then we close with Chick Corea's Morocco. That's what we do.
Indiana briefly mentioned, I think another important thing to note is they are now the first school in the history of the world to ever lose 700 college football games.
Wow.
No.
Not all at once, to be fair.
It
took more than a century, to be clear.
Wow. Who's do you know who's closest on? I guess I can pull up Wikipedia and look this up, but like who did they edge out for this distinct honor?
Will Muschamp's gonna do that. He's gonna get hired and lose 700 games in 16.
Let's see.
Somehow. Like when he has to take the ULM job.
Where's the all-time?
Bet you miss him right about now though, don't you?
I do.
Oh yeah, they don't have an all-time losses list.
This is outrageous. Wikipedia sucks. It doesn't have all-time losses.
Yeah, this isn't helpful, Wikipedia. I know that. Where's Lossipedia?
I think that's shut down fullcast.com.
This needs to be a section in Haters Upworthy, which we invented
that
earlier this season.
That is correct.
All right, here we go. Win-loss records, losses. It's not been updated, but oh my gosh, next up it's perfect. It's Northwestern followed by Rutgers.
Thank you, God.
Big Ten, really loading up on difficult institutions, not at all padding the records full of W's for their teams that lose.
Honestly, Indiana at this point should self-report some shit and be like, you got to take these games away. The results didn't happen. Definitely didn't lose 700 games.
If the NCAA says they don't do that, it's not true because they have done it before. They just don't usually do that.
Would you make that a formal announcement at the next Indiana game? Bring somebody out, have a certificate, and be like,
you
to commemorate
it.
Our 700th loss.
Save it for rivalry week. Save it for when you're playing Northwestern to end the season. Is that no, they play Purdue. Sorry, I take
you're
it back.
The first team to lose to a team with 700 losses.
You win free cocktail shrimp.
How much do you suck?
You just
you can play this move with Northwestern because like they wouldn't dare fiddle with official paperwork, right?
Home
like,
field, make us 700 club t-shirts.
Now that's the 700 this. Club for me.
Just give Northwestern a bag full of shrimp, like a garbage bag. Here you go.
Room temperature shrimp.
I'm going to make her meme right now. Like, Pat Robertson? No. Indiana? Yeah, that's the 700 club for me. Wake Forest, Kansas, and Tulane are next up to join the club.
But like Pat Robertson, they both need $5 million or God's going to call them home.
That's right. That's right.
I'm gonna laugh about
this. Also, they're all somehow still alive.
Pat Robertson's alive?
Yeah. Well, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Kind of.
In like a Warhammer Emperor kind of way. Like when they got the soul saved ticker, yeah, they're all going straight into his blood.
Yep.
Okay. Pat Robertson protects. But we protect him.
Sounds like we're probably just about done with this podcast.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, thank you so much
There's
for joining.
There's a lot of people still in here.
Spencer, how's your phone charge?
It's almost dead. Almost dead.
It already was.
I had
no, he has not plugged it in this entire time.
Yeah. What's the point?
Holly, is Tennessee going to beat Georgia?
No.
Okay.
Stop that. I don't know.
Okay.
Are they going to beat Bama again in the title game?
No, it's time, guys.
I'm on tilt.
It's time to start the Ole Miss hype train in the West.
Yeah.
It's time to start.
Just give us a second. Give us a second because I got to be scared about Kentucky now.
It's time to start. The Ole Miss is the most complete team in the West. I don't think that's true, but it doesn't matter. And
what about Tennessee, Bama round three in the national title game?
No, Ole Miss will be there too.
I'm pretty sure that in the sequence of extrapolating Tennessee's future, somebody, and I'm pretty sure it was Jason, has actually posited the three-peat or the three-match.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did this last week. Yeah,
we have got to be more careful.
Nope, disagree.
Okay,
these ghosts are cool. I say we make more of them.
We cannot fight them. That's too many ghosts. There are too many ghosts.
God. All right. So just so everybody's aware, 7-0 Ole Miss now goes to LSU next week, and then the week after that, to A&M, and then they get a week off to prepare for a home game against Bama.
Y'all, do we want to go to an Ole Miss game?
No.
I kind of want to go to an Ole Miss game.
No.
Egg Bowl?
No?
Definitely not. Definitely not Egg Bowl.
Oh, I really want to go to the Egg Bowl.
You want to spend Thanksgiving at the Egg Bowl.
As opposed to what? Spending it with my family?
Come on.
Who's watching Vanderbilt?
Vandy's a scrappy not today, actually.
No. Not today,
If I go to the Egg Bowl, I'm guaranteed to not have to watch a second of Jimbo versus Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go to the Egg Bowl.
You could just not watch that game. Do you know that you have control over your own life? Do you know that you have agency?
I'm not ready to have this
discussion.
Oh, he
skipped like the entire 3:30 slot gluing Warhammer models together in an unventilated room.
I was watching the whole game. The whole damn game.
Mm-hmm.
Unfairly attacked.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's on attack.
Tweet about it on your phone that's dead.
Yeah. He can't defend himself.
Why don't you report me to the internet?
When I find a plug, buddy,
it's on. You're all fucked.
It's on.
You'll rue the day. Yeah. Which is Sunday morning.
Yeah. Gonna get on Friendster and slay. That's what I'm gonna do.
Damn.
Oh, God. Eagles are undefeated, too, by the way. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
All right.
And a Go Birds to you.
Thank you.
If we are done, we can thank everybody for joining us here at the Fullcast After Dark. I'm gonna say this, go Vols?
Yeah, sure.
That didn't go sound Vols. Comfortable.
I don't know about that. No, just kidding. This is awesome. Never in doubt.
Bama lost. Good night.